are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, back on regular rotation now. Lack of sleep, but I'm back here for you. Monday morning episode of Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock, your host. I'm a new dad. That's why I've been sporadic the last few weeks, but I'm back to work now. Going to be bringing you podcasts daily as we head toward training camp. We're about 2 weeks away from training camp starting already. It's crazy. But the baby came at a perfect time, the slow part of the offseason there at the end of June. So I'm back. A little bit of lack of sleep. If I start sounding like I'm talking nonsense, you will know why. But I'm going to try to get back into the regular swing here and bring you guys Locked On 49ers daily, four times a week for right now as we go through camp and preseason. Then we'll be doing five times a week through the regular season as usual. So I'm glad to be back. You know, it was hard for me to stay away from work and everything, getting stir crazy in the house. But I love spending time with my brand new little bundle of joy. But I like spending time with you guys as well. So we'll get through this podcast today and I'll get sleep another time. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere. There's a new Google Podcast thing that happened apparently while I was gone. So you can find us there as well. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's the place to get in mailbag questions or just talk Niners or talk whatever. You can also email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. This week, the goal is in the next couple of weeks as we head towards camp, previewing the position groups and looking at how things might shake out as we get into camp. And then once camp happens, we can talk about what's going on there with these guys on the field. On today's episode, the focus will be running backs. We'll also be taking some mailbag questions that are specific to the position I'm talking about and mix some other ones in as well. Probably each episode as we go forward here. Going to have some guests as usual. And of course, a Winky Wednesday coming up this week. So let's get back into it, huh? And when it comes to the running backs, the top of the depth chart, I think it's pretty easy. The guesswork has been taken away from us here. There's nothing really to think about when it comes to the starters, especially with the fullback position, because there's one. There's going to be, let's be real, there's going to be one fullback on the roster, and he does a little bit of everything. He's going to do a little H-back, move around. He can do some tight endy things. He can carry the ball. He can really catch the ball. And of course, he can block. And so he's called offensive weapon for a reason. He can do a lot of different things. And Kyle Juszczyk is not only the highest paid fullback in the league, I think he makes like twice as much. I'm going to reference Chris Wilson's article from LockedOn49ers.com quite a bit in this podcast. Let me double check that. I believe he is $4.45 million salary cap number for Kyle Juszczyk. Number two on the list is Patrick DeMarco of the Bills, who was also a free agent last offseason with Kyle Juszczyk at just over $2 million. Yeah, twice the price of any other fullback in the league is Kyle Juszczyk. So that's how much they liked him as a free agent. Now going forward, that salary is going to start jumping in 2019 and 2020. So he's got to be able to earn that value in that contract. So we'll see what happens there going forward. But right now, he's going to build on what he's already done in his first year with the 49ers, and he ranked high. I mean, he's a very good player. Pro Football Focus, he's the fourth ranked fullback in 2017. He was the top fullback in 2016 before he hit free agency. He ranked first in receiving and second in rushing last year, was also PFF's fourth ranked run blocker. And he was actually the lowest rated pass blocker, which is kind of an odd flip. That I expect that to be an anomaly and to not be the case in 2018. But yeah, great blocker. He can run. He's your short yardage guy if they need, you know, the big bruising type of back, probably, because they don't have a lot of that now on the roster. A lot of people thought they would add that guy, and maybe there's one guy we'll talk about a little bit later that could be that role if he makes the roster as a tailback. But Kyle Juszczyk, yeah, he can do it all. He's a very good player across the board. He's going to be an important part of this 49ers offense, not a splashy playmaker, but he can make some plays. We saw him make some plays down the field as a receiver, and but number one, he's going to be that blocker, and he excels at all of those things. And I'm a big fan of Kyle Juszczyk's game. There's a lot of those players that do a lot that don't get the pub. They're not big fantasy guys, you know, and a lot of people run around with their jerseys on, but they do a lot of work that really help a football team. Kyle Juszczyk is one of those guys, and I think that's why Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch identified him last offseason as someone that they really wanted to bring in that could help the offense in a ton of ways. And he already had a pretty good rapport going with Jimmy Garoppolo in 2017 to end the season, as did a lot of people that played alongside Jimmy Garoppolo. So Juice is set, and his backfield mate, for the most part, is going to be Jet. So we got Juice and Jet in the backfield, and that is Jet Jerick McKinnon, who Kyle Shanahan is in love with, and again, spent a bunch of money on him, and it's a pretty high-priced backfield for kind of a lack of production, really. When you look at it on the NFL level, guys getting paid big have a ton of production as far as numbers go compared to where we're at with Jerick McKinnon and Kyle Juszczyk, who are the starters there. I mean, most fullbacks don't have a ton of production. Juszczyk is up with those guys. But as far as Jerick McKinnon goes, they expect a huge jump, and he's going to be the no-doubt starter, Kyle Shanahan said, at running back for the 49ers. And actually, talking about production, another interesting factoid from Chris Wilson's article at LockedOn49ers.com on the running back position is that no running back on the 49ers roster has rushed for 600 yards or scored 6 combined touchdowns in a single season, even though now the 49ers have one of the highest running back payrolls in the NFL. And where Jet McKinnon's value and where he gets me excited in the 49ers offense is, I mean, he's an athletic guy. I think he's going to fit in well with Kyle Shanahan's outside zone running scheme, and it's stretching it outside and hitting those holes that open up and getting upfield. He can do those things athletically, but as a receiver is where I get excited. He's actually a really good pass blocker as well. Checking back in with those PFF numbers, he was the 8th highest graded running back in the NFL, just total, last season, which is surprising with his lack of a total production that I talked about earlier, and he was the 9th rated pass blocker. So actually much better in those areas than Carlos Hyde ranked for the 49ers last year as the feature back. And when you look at Kyle Shanahan's offenses in Atlanta, that Devontae Freeman role and the things he was able to do, they're really built the same. Devontae Freeman doesn't even have the top speed, though, that Jerick McKinnon has. So that's the sort of, you salivate there thinking about the upside of what Jet McKinnon can be in the 49ers offense is, man, you squint a little bit, look at the things that Devontae Freeman did, and think that Jet McKinnon can even have a bigger big play ability with that athleticism and his ability to catch out of the backfield and then make big plays with his speed as a running back. And he's not a small guy. I mean, he's not tall, but he's built. This dude's rock solid. He's kind of freakish athlete, actually. And so he's got some power to him. So I think he can do some damage between the tackles, but he's not, you know, your brute strength, push defenders back 4 yards and, you know, 3 yards cloud of dust kind of running back. He's going to use his athleticism, but he can do a lot of things. So I'm interested to see if he's going to be worth all that money, even though he's never really had that role and been just a game changer as a pure runner in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan sees something in Jerick McKinnon, so that's the big thing that I'm interested in seeing this offense, is seeing how that goes and seeing if he is going to be like he was rated at PFF, maybe one of the top 10 tailbacks in the league, because this offense is tailored for his talents. And you know, before I get to the rest of the running backs and some mailbag questions, I do want to tell all of you guys about Blue Chew. Do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? I remember those days. They weren't that long ago. You know, I don't know how soon I want to be ready to go. They call it the Irish twins, having a kid like within a year of having a kid before. That scares me. That scares me quite a bit. But with Blue Chew now, you can get back to those days when you were always ready to go. You can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color, and chew, like you are chewing a tablet, brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they can work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. And there's a video, by the way, at BlueChew.com that will tell you even more. And you will get your first shipment free. When you use our special promo code Locked On, that's one word, Locked On, just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com, promo code Locked On. Try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. Speaking of fast, let's get to another 49ers running back with speed to burn. That is Matt Breida, who ran a 4.38 coming out of Georgia Southern. By the way, Jerick McKinnon was also a Georgia Southern running back slash quarterback. They ran the triple option offense over there. So when you were a quarterback, you really just ran the ball most of the time anyway. And McKinnon's official 40 time was 4.41 at the combine. I think he had 4.3s at his pro days too. So we're talking blazing fast here. And just like every other running back, Joe Williams is 4.41 as well at the combine. The 49ers have a lot of speed in their backfield. And Matt Breida, I love the way he came on at the end of the season. And he's absolutely, for me, number two on the depth chart. And I think it would be actually a surprise if anybody leaped him and became the number two running back behind Jerick McKinnon over Matt Breida because of the way he finished the season. I loved how his confidence grew. You could just tell he was a more confident runner at the end of the season. And I don't even know if it was as much of the Jimmy Garoppolo effect as it was for some of the other positions on the 49ers offense and even the defense. And there was maybe some of that, but Matt Breida was just running different at the end of the year. And he outplayed really Carlos Hyde in a lot of ways at the end of the season. Breida ended up with 465 yards last season, a couple of touchdowns. He was averaging 4.4 yards per carry. Wasn't a huge factor in the passing game, but he did catch 21 balls for another 180 yards and a score. He was, able to contribute, and I think he's that perfect change of pace guy. He's not as powerful, not as well-built as Jerick McKinnon or some of the other running backs on this roster, but he's got that speed. He's a perfect change of pace guy. I love his attitude, and he can come in, and if you need him to start games, he can do that. But I don't think he's ever going to be, the guy that they're looking at as a long-term starter. But right now, he's the number two guy, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. And that brings me to the guy who's number three on this list, which is Joe Williams. And he has the most to prove, but he could be the guy that would leapfrog Matt Breida and even could potentially be the number one running back for the 49ers. I mean, they traded up in the draft in 2017 to get him. Kyle Shanahan said he wasn't going to sleep that night if they weren't able to draft Joe Williams. He wasn't even on the 49ers draft board the day before the draft. And Shanahan had John Lynch go back and call Joe Williams on the phone, and he had a change of heart, and then they ended up taking him. And I like that working relationship with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. But right now, maybe the 49ers had it right originally, and there was a reason why he wasn't on the 49ers draft board. And there's a chance he didn't go drafted by anybody if the 49ers didn't take him. And so when you look at the talent, it's there. And he's got a clean slate right now, Kyle Shanahan said. And Joe Williams, and I said this on, I don't remember, I was a guest on, I think KNBR, and they asked me about Joe Williams. And my response was, man, I don't know. He could be the starting running back in 2 years. He could be the number one guy, and he could be a stud in Kyle Shanahan's offense. He could be off the 49ers roster. He could be out of the league. It's really hard to tell where Joe Williams' career is going to go from right now, but he has an opportunity to really solidify himself as an NFL running back. If he puts the work in, he's got talent. He's got breakaway speed. He's the biggest back of these three that we've talked about so far. And so there's a reason Kyle Shanahan loved him. I mean, he showed it off a little bit in the preseason last year. He had a couple of runs that were like 15, 16 yards where when he saw that hole and he just hit it, and he's got that burst and he can get a chunk of yards in a hurry. So I'm interested to see how he looks in camp, if he's in shape, if he's working hard, if he's got the playbook down. And if he does all of those things, he could really still be a stud in the NFL. But there's some ifs that go along with Joe Williams, and I'm excited to see how he fits in and see if he has a chance to beat out Matt Breida for that number two running back role in 2018 after he spent all of 2017, aside from some preseason, on injured reserve. And when it comes to his injured reserve stay, by the way, that's the thing that really told me. It's like, ooh, maybe they're not so sure about this guy, because it was just like an ankle injury. He didn't need to miss the whole year. If you hurt your ankle in training camp, you're back in the first quarter of the season. You miss a couple weeks, a few weeks, even a bad one, you miss half the season. To just put him on the shelf, that tells me they weren't sold on Joe Williams and his work maybe in camp, and that's just reading into it. I don't know. I didn't hear that from any coaches or anybody's mouth, but that's the feeling I get with Joe Williams. So that's the interesting part, to see how he comes in mentally, I think, more than what kind of physical talent Joe Williams has as a runner. Now, since I wouldn't consider Joe Williams a lock for the 53-man roster, that means there's some room for some folks to fill in there. I think Breida, McKinnon, Juszczyk, those guys are locks for the roster pretty much. Raheem Mostert is the one that I think could make the roster even still with, I mean, you go three tailbacks or four tailbacks in a fullback. You go five running backs total. I don't know if they'll take that many, maybe four. Make it out of camp. So that's where Raheem Mostert is going to have to make his living as a special teams guy, because he's pretty good on special teams as a gunner. He can give you a little bit of something as a running back as well, be someone that suits up for you every week. Whereas if he's suiting up and Breida and McKinnon and Juszczyk, and you still have another running back in your roster, say Joe Williams, probably won't even suit up on Sundays. Do you need that many running backs? So that's the question, is how many they'll carry. But I don't know if there's other special teamers at other positions that are more valuable to either offense or defense to have a guy who's mostly just going to be a special teams player, ideally for you, like Raheem Mostert. So maybe he still doesn't make the roster, but that's why he made the roster last year. And so that battle for the last spot is going to come down to maybe special teams value. If that's the case, then Raheem Mostert most likely would be the guy that makes that roster, but maybe that position is filled somewhere else, and then the 49ers can go with pure running back upside with a guy like Joe Williams, or maybe one of these other two guys on the list, like Jeremy McNichols. He was on the Hard Knocks for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then ended up getting cut. They thought they were going to bring him back to the practice squad. He ended up bailing on them and signing with the 49ers practice squad, and it's usually surprising for a fifth-round running back that he was in 2017 draft by the Tampa Bay Bucks to get cut out of camp. So he wasn't feeling it, and he did not like that. So he ended up on the 49ers. Didn't get much run with the Niners either. Did suit up a couple times at the end of the year, I think basically replaced Mostert and did some special team stuff. But he's going to compete, and he has a chance maybe to earn that number three role. But to me, it's going to be a really uphill challenge for Jeremy McNichols to make the roster. Which brings us to this year's undrafted free agent. Last year was Matt Breida. We didn't know a lot about him. He was fast and had some production at Georgia Southern. This year it is Jeffrey Wilson, a running back out of North Texas that also had a lot of production in 2017 in college. He scored 16 touchdowns in 11 games for North Texas. Also a very good receiving threat out of the backfield. And he's got size, which is something. He's the only guy that's near 6 feet or just a little bit over 6 feet. And 210 pounds, I think he is. 6 feet, 210. Didn't run that well, I think, in workouts. And that's the one thing I noticed when I did watch some. I didn't watch a ton of Jeffrey Wilson. There's not a lot of North Texas tape out there, but I watched some of them. I didn't see a lot of juice speed-wise, but I did like, he's a taller guy. He's a bigger running back, which the 49ers don't have. He caught the ball pretty well. You know what he reminded me of physically is an old 49ers running back, Terry Kirby. Do you remember Terry Kirby? He was sort of a high-cut running back. He was that Bill Walsh third-down prototype running back where he was a good blocker and he was a good receiver but wasn't a great running back. Jeffrey Wilson, I think, could give you a little something as a running back, but I think his value is that he's got some size, and so he's a little bit different than some of these other guys. So maybe at the end they're like, well, we want this guy who's shaped a little bit different, can do some different things, and can work in the passing game. We want him over someone like Mostert or Jeremy McNichols, or even if Joe Williams doesn't make the roster. So that's where Jeffrey Wilson has a chance to make his way onto the 49ers roster, although I think it's going to be an uphill battle, but he might be that guy that you stash on the practice squad. And the last guy on this list, and if you want more info, you can always go to LockedOn49ers.com, and Chris Wilson has a bunch of articles already. I don't think, no relation to Jeffrey Wilson, by the way, has a bunch of articles already going on some of these position groups that we're going to be going over here on the podcast. Fullback Malcolm Johnson will be in camp for the 49ers, and don't want to spend a lot of time on Malcolm Johnson. No offense to Malcolm Johnson. I just think he's training camp fodder. They need a second fullback to run some of the stuff, so Kyle Juszczyk isn't running all the plays in camp. But he's already been cut from a couple of teams. He was a former sixth-round draft pick in 2015. He played 19 games, released by Cleveland, and then spent some time on the Seattle Seahawks practice squad. So Malcolm Johnson, I don't know a ton about Malcolm Johnson, haven't watched him a lot, but he's going to do some lead blocking for the 49ers in camp, give Kyle Juszczyk a rest. And unless there's some major injury stuff with Kyle Juszczyk, And even then, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is even worried about necessarily having a quote-unquote fullback as much as having good players. So if Kyle Juszczyk goes down, do you even worry about the things you were doing with the fullback, or do you just kind of have some tight ends do the H-back stuff, and maybe that'll be another thing to watch to see if any of those tight ends work in with the fullbacks and start working those in? Because if you lose Juszczyk, do you want to use that roster spot and just bring in a fullback that you're not going to have do all the other things that Juszczyk does? Or are you going to just scrap some of the things that Juszczyk would have been doing and then use tight ends to do the receiving stuff? So that'll be one big question about the fullback position. And we'll get to know a little bit more about that in camp and see how they use Malcolm Johnson in games and see if he's actually a legitimate chance to make the roster and see, yeah, what would you do, man? That's one of those positions. What would the 49ers do? I think Joe Staley's the number one. It's like, oof. Protect Jimmy Garoppolo. If Joe Staley goes, who's going to play left tackle? That's a worry. And then yeah, Kyle Juszczyk, just the way that he gets used, not a lot of guys could do exactly what he does. I don't know if you would even replace him with another fullback if that was the case. And of course, DeForest Buckner, don't get hurt, please, guys. I don't even like, why did I even bring that subject up? All right, I'm losing it. Let's get to that mailbag before I become completely incoherent. Thanks, as always, to everyone who submits questions or just says hi on Twitter, at BD Peacock, or email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. A tons of people congratulating me on the baby and give me dad advice, which is always helpful. So thank you to everybody who's been doing that. Let's go to John on Twitter. He says, which side of the ball do you think we'd be more dominant on? I think still there's more talent on the defensive side of the ball, but when you throw Garoppolo in there and Kyle Shanahan calling plays, adding a little bit more talent, if Jerick McKinnon is the real deal, Pierre Garçon back, offensive line improved, the offense could take a massive jump in over a 16-game stretch in 2018, and there might be still a few pieces, especially that outside pass rush that holds the defense back. I still think there's more talent overall. It just the defense started developing earlier than the offense, but the offense is making a quick move. And so I'm looking for some balance, actually, offense versus defense in 2018. The pass rush might hold back that defense, and I think just a lack of top talent playmakers. You know, there's no Julio Joneses or Le'Veon Bells or anything on the offense right now for the 49ers, so if they can develop one of those players or someone becomes that massive playmaker on offense, then that could definitely take over. But right now, I'm going to lead toward the defensive side of the ball. Zach asks about the bubble watch and the running back position. He says, who will sneak into the back end of the roster? Will we hold an extra wide receiver or running back on the roster? You know, going through the running backs in this episode, I really think that the wide receiver position is where carry some extra people, because I think the running back position is so set. Let's say you throw Jeffrey Wilson on the practice squad. You let Mostert and Joe Williams battle it out for that last running back spot. You try to find some special teams value somewhere else, maybe as a wide receiver that can do some things that Mostert used to do, so that way you can carry Joe Williams instead. And if not, then maybe you have to cut ties with Joe Williams. And if Joe Williams doesn't make you say, we have to keep this guy as the third or even second running back on this roster because he's too good, if he doesn't make that happen during camp, then, I mean, what's the difference anyways? Because you could cut Joe Williams and then keep that special teams value and have Mostert, who can contribute as a running back too. I think numbers-wise, there's too many wide receivers that I want to see develop, guys like Richie James and, you know, Kendrick Bourne, obviously, I think has a really good shot, if not being a lock on this roster already. I think you definitely keep the extra wide receiver versus the extra running back. And tomorrow, we'll get into those wide receivers. Wow, this is actually weird. There was two Zachs, one spelled with a K, one with an H. Both had the question about, would you keep an extra wide receiver or running back? That's kind of oddball. I thought it was maybe the same guy and he changed his avatar, but no, it's two different Zachs out there. Shout out to both Zachs. Steve just asked straight up, running back roster bubble, is Joe Williams going to make the active 53? Right now, I'm going to say yes, because I saw those sparks last offseason, and it was tantalizing, or last preseason. In those preseason games, I saw those sparks as a runner. I want to see that. If he shows any consistency, he's just going to say, yeah, I have to make this roster, and it's going to be an easy decision for the 49ers. If he doesn't do that, he might be looking for work. One more question on Twitter here. This is from Rye Guy. It says, congrats on the boy. Love the podcast. Thank you very much. If you could choose just one defensive player that will break out this year, who would it be? I'm thinking about getting a new jersey, so it might be a little selfish. first of all, jersey advice, buy jerseys post-breakout and not pre-breakout. Don't buy the hype into a guy. I think you're pretty safe with a Garoppolo jersey, you know, Buckner jersey. I 100%, I will go to my grave with this jersey buying strategy. Buy jerseys of players who have already retired or their legacy is already so set, you know, Frank Gores of the world and stuff like that. Go backwards with jerseys. Go retro. Don't try to pick the next great guy and throw all that money down on a jersey because there's too many weird jerseys flying around of guys that people thought were going to be great that didn't turn out or their careers took a massive turn. And then you're sitting there with a super expensive jersey that you don't really want to wear all that much unless you're trying to be ironic. That's my advice when it comes to jerseys. But as far as choosing one breakout defensive player, I think Akella Witherspoon has a chance to be that guy. I think on the national level, both safeties, Kwaski Tart and Adrian Colbert, I think locally, 49ers fans know about these guys. I think 49ers reporters know about these guys. And I think just nationally, people aren't sure. People don't even realize that that these are the starting safeties for the 49ers right now. I've seen some 49ers previews, but they don't even have Adrian Colbert as the starting free safety. They just don't know about these guys yet on a national level. So I think just as a whole defensively, there's a lot of guys that are going to show up. And you know, if Solomon Thomas takes the next step, DeForest Buckner is already a beast. But if he gets to the quarterback, finds that half step, gets a little bit lucky and runs into some sacks and those sack numbers really grow. He's somebody you're going to be looking at very high on those NFL top 100 lists and just getting a lot of acclaim around the league. And it's tough at that position. There's a lot of really good interior defensive linemen in the NFL right now. So Buckner's got some great company there. That's going to be a battle for him to rate with some of those players. But yeah, I'm looking at the secondary. Witherspoon, Tart, Colbert, those guys are all I expect to have some pretty big years and take big steps this season. And Fred Warner is a player I really liked in college. He was a shadow 49er. I was excited when the 49ers drafted him. I really like his fit next to Reuben Foster long term. I think that's going to be a really nice combo at linebacker. So I'm looking at Fred Warner as well. Where are those sacks coming from, though? I don't know. Maybe wait till the season's over. Buy the jersey of the guy who leads the 49ers in sacks. How about that? Jeremiah Atauhu, maybe. Maybe the dark horse there. Okay, that's going to do it. Got some more email questions I'll get to next time, and we'll get into some wide receivers. Got some tight ends to talk about, and the whole defensive side of the ball as well with position-by-position camp previews as we head toward training camp only a couple weeks away right here on Locked On 49ers.